Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel according to Luke, Brother Ron said that he hoped that he hadn't stepped on what I was planning to do this morning, and he didn't. As a matter of fact, it kind of, there a little bit of what he had to say goes along with what I have to say. Talking about a visit to the past, we're going to look at the past a little bit this morning, and we're going to look at the future a little bit this morning. So I would say that in that regard, it does go somewhat with what I have to say, but we're going to talk a whole lot about the present. And so I would say it certainly is not going to step on what I have to say. Maybe it'll complement what I have to say this morning. And so I would say that would be good. If you have your place, we're going to be reading in Luke chapter number 15, beginning in verse number 11, and reading down through the remainder of the chapter. This is, of course, a very familiar passage of Scripture. I believe it was last year that I preached on homecoming, and I preached about three homecomings. And this was one that I mentioned, and I'll home in on this one this morning. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. I think sometimes when we read this, we fail to read this verse and focus on what it actually says. He did not just give this boy his inheritance. If you read this, you'll see he divided unto them his living. So both sons got their inheritance. Do you read that? Is that what it says? Okay. I just want you to understand what the verse says. He divided unto them his living. Now that's going to help you to understand something that the Father says later on when he says, all that I have is thine. Okay? Now, you understand? Okay. All right. We'll read on then. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and to bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now, if I read that correctly, that's Luke 15, verses 11 through 32, and you may be seated. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of there's something going on at the Father's house. There's something going on at the Father's house. Now, in order to understand what's going on at the Father's house, we have to have some background. We look and we see that the Father here has two sons, and we'll have to talk about these two sons and to get a picture of what's going on here. We have the elder son who stays at home and the younger son who leaves, of course, and he has divided unto them his living. They're his heirs. There's no doubt about that. They are receiving what he has. But one of these sons is a disobedient son. He is a disobedient son. He is a son who is going away from home. He is one who is wasting everything that he has. I want to look at him and I want to think about him today as the returning son. The returning son. We always look at him, we call him the prodigal. He is a prodigal. There's no doubt about that. He is a lost son. He's lost to the Father. Somebody asked Bob Weldon one time, said, how do you preach him? Do you preach him lost or saved? He said, I'm preaching him either way. Yeah, and I guess you can preach him and preach him as an application. You can preach him either way. Now, the Bible says this, my son was lost and is found. And I think I'll just leave him the way the Bible does. As a matter of fact, I'm going to leave both of them lost. You do what you want to with them. But this, hey, I don't think the older brother was in any better shape than the younger brother was. But anyhow, he's away from the Father. He's gone. He's out in the world. He's a prodigal. He's away. But here we find that he's returning. This boy was disobedient. He certainly was. No question about that. He was destructive to his own self. He was destructive to his own soul. Why he took everything that he had and he wasted it. He destroyed everything that his father had given him. He ruined everything. There's no question about that. We all understand that. We all know that. Why he had taken the very goodness of his father and counted it as nothing. He was disdainful to his father. My soul. I think about folk around us. Well, some of you have children that have treated you the same way. And now that's a sad thing, and I hate that for you. But that's a fact of life. It's the way things are. And what can I do for you? I can't do a thing for you. I can't help you. I wish I could. We can pray for you, and we'll do that. But what can we do to help? Unless God Almighty himself, the Holy Ghost of God, gets a hold of them, like he got a hold of this young man, there's nothing that can be done. But here he was. He was out in the world. He was lost and he was undone. But he was distraught when he came to the end of himself. And he did. He came to the end of himself when everything was gone, everything was lost, and he found himself with any money. Well, I've been there. Well, I've been to the place before. I've had to fall on my face and cry out to God and say, God, help. I don't know what to do. I think I have felt like the children of Israel did when they were out there in the valley and they looked around and they saw the enemy all around the hills around them and they said, oh, God, here we are in a mess and we don't know what to do. Help! I've been like that before. I tell you what, I've come sometimes to the place where there was too much month left at the end of the money. And I said, Lord, you know I don't know what to do. If I make it through this, you're going to have to help me. I remember one time, and I'm just going to confess if it's all right. And you say, well, I never have been in that kind of shape. Well, that's all right, I have. I got in a situation, got into shape one time. But I was just a young guy. My kids were little, and I was in a mess. And they came to take my car away from me. I didn't have any way to go, Brother Carl. I was in a mess. And I was pacing the floor. My brother said, what do those fellas want? I said, they come to get my car. He said, what do you? I didn't owe but $800 on that car. That's all I owed. And he gave it to me. And I paid him off. Well, I had to pay him back. I mean, you know. And I did. It didn't take me long to pay him back, but I didn't have the money. You say, $800? Hey, I've been there where I didn't have anything. I've been to the bottom of the barrel at times. But here's a boy that came down to the place where he didn't have anything to eat. I remember one time, Brother Bobby, when I was in Bible college, I got down so low, me and my wife, that's before we had any children. I got down so low, I had a half a head of cabbage in the house. And I mean, you know what we were going to do? We were going to boil that half a head of cabbage, we were going to eat it, and we were going to die. That was it. That was, I couldn't even buy a pack of hot dogs. That was it. But God came through. He supplied the need. He always has. God's always met the need. Always has. But he has got us a little bit low a time or two. But now here's an old boy that didn't know God. Here's an old boy that didn't know God. And he came down to the end. And the Bible says that the way of the transgressor is hard. He didn't have anybody to turn to in this world. Why? Because all men forsook him. He joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he went out to feed swine, and he got down so bad that he would have desired to have fed himself with the husks. Can you imagine eating corn husks that the swine did eat? But he came to the end of himself, and at least he did come to the end of himself, and when he did. And he didn't do that by himself. No man ever came to the end of himself by himself. That takes an act of a sovereign God to bring a man to the end of himself. Why? No man cometh unto the Father except the Father draw him. That's what the Bible says. And so when he became so distraught, he diligently sought out the Father. And he headed home. He was determined to return in humility. And so we have a returning son. Now he makes up his mind how he's going to do this. I mean, he knows how he's got to do this. And I don't know how much of the Old Testament scriptures he's read, but he knows what he's got to do. He knows what the Old Testament scriptures teach that he's got to do to come to the Father. He knows how David repented. He knows how he did it. He knows how Isaiah did it. He knows how it has to be done. He knows that he's got to come and say, Father, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. I've sinned before God, and I've sinned in your sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He knows how he's got to repent. And so he comes, and he returns to the Father. A returning son. Now, you may be away from God, but there's only one way to come, and that's to come diligent in humility, repenting. That's the only way you can do it. Now, we have not only a returning son, but we have a receiving father. I'm glad that he's always welcoming those that'll return. Now, I know what we've heard and what we've heard preached and all, And sometimes we get the idea that, well, I can't come. Well, why not? Your Bible doesn't tell you can't come. Your Bible tells you you must come. And we've gotten the idea intellectually. Now, intellectually, hang up the intellectualism. We got a bunch of preachers running around, and they're educated beyond their intelligence. And they're telling people they can't come to God. You can't come to God. You can't. Hey, if the Holy Ghost of God is drawing you, you can come. If there's anything in you that causes you to want to come to God, you can come to God. I was at a church up in Batesville, Mississippi one time, and Brother Ernest Gordon asked me to come over and preach because he didn't want a guy to come to preach that kept begging him to get him to come preach. He knew what I'm talking about. So he had a Gideon speaker in the Sunday school and had the Tackett family singing. And then I was going to preach. My, what a mix-up. And so he had Brother Tackett come up and says, "You can come Jesus anytime you want to. You can come Jesus anytime you want to. You can come Jesus." And then the Gideon got up and said, "You can't come to Jesus just anytime you want to." Well, they just got up there and contradicted one another. And so I had to get up and try to straighten it out. And so I got up and I said, "Now, you've heard a couple of contradicting statements this morning. Brother Bobby said you can come to Jesus anytime you want to." And then the Gideon got up and said, you can't come to Jesus just anytime you want to." I said, "Now, I'm going to tell you something. They're both right. The fact is, you're not going to come to Jesus until you want to. But when you want to, you can. See, you're not going to want to come to Jesus until you can." Isn't that amazing? You see, he'll put it in your heart to come to him. And when he puts it in your heart to come to him, you can come to him. That's not that complicated. And it's biblically sound. You see, he said, all that come to me, he said, "He that cometh unto me, I'll no wise cast out." You can come to him if you want to. And the Father came, the Son came, and when he returned to the Father, he's still rehearsing in his mind and in his heart what he's going to say, and don't get to get the words out. Because while he's trying to get the words out, the Father's already run down the lane and grabbed him and hugging him and telling the servants, "Bring the best robe and put it on him. I want to cover up all this mess." And so he puts him in a right standing immediately. The filth of the world is covered up. The atonement is made. Now that's a picture, of course. The atonement is made, and no longer is the filth and the vileness of this world seen. He's wearing the robe of righteousness. It is imputed to him. It's not his own righteousness. It's the Father's righteousness. Put a ring on his finger. Now he has my authority. He has my power. He is a son in good standing in the family. And put shoes on his feet so that he can walk. Then there's going to be some rejoicing. But we don't want to talk about the rejoicing yet. Oh, yeah, kill the fatted calf. We don't really want to talk about that yet. Because something else is going to happen. Something else is going to happen that is going to try to mar that. Because now we have a rebellious brother. Oh, he's out in the field. He's out in the field and he comes in from working in the field. And he's a worker, by the way. He's a worker. He's the Martha of the family. And he's out in the field working, and he comes in and he hears music and dancing. I don't know how you hear dancing, but he hears the dancing. That's what it says. Is that what it says? Now, sometimes it's funny, isn't it? But I guess he hears the music and just assumes that there's dancing going along with it because it's dance music. But he hears the music and the dancing. And he calls one of the servants and says, "What's going on? I didn't have a party planned tonight." He said, and he tells him what happened. He said, "Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf." He says, "I'm not going in." He gets angry. And so his father, the father who has gone out and embraced and welcomed the younger brother, who has come in repentance and in humility, comes out and entreats, pleads with the elder brother. And he entreats and pleads with all of those who will not come. Did you know that? They're still not going to come. I mean, those who have labored, those who have enjoyed his blessings, those who have sat on his pews, those who have claimed his name, he still entreats with them, but they still won't come. Now, this boy, this elder brother, he's like that self-righteous Pharisee that went up to the temple to pray with the publican. He prayed and said, I thank God that I'm not like my brother. I thank God that I'm not like my brother that took his share and went off and lived a riotous life and ran with women and drank whiskey and did all of this, and now he's back at church and he gets treated like he never did live like that. And here I am. Well, I never acted like that. I never lived like that. And here they made him a deacon. Am I telling it? I thank God I'm not like my brother. I give $10 a week to the church. Well, I thank God. A Pharisee. Or like the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said, but I've been faithful to keep the law all of my life. Well, I've done everything right. I've lived like you wanted me to live all my life. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Well, I've come to church every service. I've tithed of everything you've given me. I've done everything right. And now look how you're treating me. Well, now that's the elder brother. Angry at being rejected. He just refused to come in. God's just not fair. The Father's just not fair. Why? You never gave me even a kid of the goats. You hadn't been fair with me. Well, I wanted to help take up the offering. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. I used to have a man in a church that I pastored get mad because somebody else got to mow the yard. My soul, I'd have been glad to have let him mow the yard. I'm serious. Get mad because I didn't ask him to mow it. I've been a member of this church. I'm a charter member of this church. And he didn't ask me. Lord have mercy. Elder brother syndrome. Elder brother. Well, I'd help in the kitchen if they'd asked me. Hogwash. Hogwash. Elder brother syndrome. That's a bad syndrome to have. A real bad syndrome to have. Hey, listen, just come on in and join the party. Come on in and join the party. This elder brother, he's got some really serious issues. Self-righteous, selfish. Why have you treated me this way? Sold under sin. Though he never went to the far country. He's like the servant that went to the field to labor and labored all day. But then at the 10th hour or the 11th hour, another servant came in and was hired to labor and labored only 1 hour or 2 hours and got the same pay and became angry because he got the same pay he got. And said, well, didn't you contract for a day's wages? but then he was angry. Not satisfied. Never satisfied. Not fair. God's not fair. God is fair. God is just. And one day, we'll have to answer to that. One day we'll all bow our knee and we'll confess that. Why? He's Lord. He's Lord. But then, there is a reconciliatory offer. You see, the Father does come out. And in all sincerity, He says, all that I have is thine. It's all yours. I gave it all to you back before your brother ever left home. It's all yours. It's yours. And it manifests the rebellion of the human heart. I will not. It makes darkness the preferred state of man's life. I'd rather not have anything as for him to have what he's getting. Isn't that something? That's what he's saying. I'd rather stay out here in the dark as for him to be in the light. That's man's preferred state. But then there's rejoicing going on in the Father's house. Boy, there's a party going on inside. And that's where I am, and that's where I want to stay. I like it on the inside. You see, I was like the old boy in the pig pen. I was like the old boy that had gone away. I was like the old boy that had taken the inheritance and squandered it. I was like the old boy that had lost everything and one day came to myself. One day the Holy Ghost of God came by and showed me what I was and showed me what I needed. And I came to Him, and He saved me by His grace. One day He embraced me and took me in. And I've been enjoying feasting on the fatted calf ever since. And it don't ever run out. Now, y'all look at me and you say, you look like you've been feasting on something. I know, but I'm talking about spiritual things, not physical. And we'll get to the physical in just a few minutes. But I've been enjoying that. The fatted calf has been killed. All provision is made. All blessings are supplied, and even better than that, I get to enjoy the presence of the Father. We talk about going to God's house, but I wonder sometimes if we're even concerned about whether God's there or not. We go to God's house, but why do we go? We put worship 11 o'clock. But then we go to God's house and we don't do any worshiping. We go to God's house and is God even there? I like to come and feel the presence of the Lord in God's house. There ought to be a party going on. There ought to be excitement in the Lord's house. Why? Because of where we came from. Where we came from. And it's already been said this morning, because our name's in heaven. We heard a song about our name is in heaven. Jesus said, rejoice not that the devils are subject to you, but rejoice rather that your name is written in heaven. We have something to be happy about. We ought to be rejoicing. We ought to be excited because of the Father's presence, because of the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost, because of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be rejoicing. There ought to be rejoicing in our hearts. It ought to be spilling out of us. The Apostle Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Dear friend of mine, Brother Barney Bryant, was here a couple of weeks ago and preached, and he makes a great distinction between the two words, always and alway. And alway is a word that is a continual word, a continuation word. And that just says without any ceasing. We're not to ever cease rejoicing. We are to rejoice alway. I sometimes express it this way. Rejoice alway means to rejoice all the way. That means all the way home. We're to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. And so we're to rejoice. The family is gathered. The family is gathered, and since the family is gathered, let the fun begin. I saw picture after picture after picture online on the Facebook. Who is it called? The Facebook. I know, but I was reading somebody else. But on Facebook, I was quoting somebody else when I said the Facebook. But on Facebook, I saw the class reunion pictures that Brother Ron and Miss Patty. They had a party going on. They had fun. Why? They had a lot in common. A lot to talk about and think about and memories and rejoicings. They just had a couple of family reunions. Patty's family was together. They had a lot of fun. Saw the pictures. Brother Ron's family just had a reunion. They had a lot of fun. I saw the pictures. My family just had a reunion about 2.5-3 weeks ago. We had a lot of fun. You ought to have seen us up there with my brothers and all up there singing and acting like a bunch of idiots, singing Hang Down Your Head, Tom Dooley. We had a time. We had fun. The family gets together. It's a time to have fun. It's a time to rejoice. We're family in Christ, and we ought to have fun, and we ought to rejoice. Why? The family's gathered together in the house, in the Father's house, and we ought to be rejoicing and having fun. Why? Because we came home. And then one of these days. And then one of these days. The trumpet's going to sound. And the Lord's going to descend. And then sure enough, there's going to be a returning. Oh yeah, he's going to return. But then there's going to be a gathering. There's going to be a gathering like you've never seen. There's going to be a gathering like I've never seen. And the family is going to the Father's house. Oh yeah, this represents the Father's house here. But we're going to the Father's house. We're going to that home that the writer in Hebrews chapter 13 tells us about. We're going to a city. We're going to a city that wasn't built by man. We're going to that place that David was looking for. Going to that place that Abraham was looking for. And they can't go there till we do. They're waiting too. But one day we're going to that place. Moses is looking for it. And one day we're going there. And my, what a party. What a party. What a time that will be. What a day that's going to be when we look on his face, Brother Doug. Now, some of us are going to see him probably sooner than others will. But one day he's coming. And when he does, what a time in the Father's house. Now, we ought to be having a time now. And I don't know why in the world we're just such, I tell you what we are, we're just so sin-riddled. Broke down people. If we get right with God, we could surely enjoy the trip a whole lot better. Here was a boy that got right with God, made things a whole lot better in his life. One of them refused to, he just stayed outside. Ain't gonna have it. I like it on the inside. I like it on the inside in the Father's house. Thank you, Father, for your word. I pray you'd help us. I pray that you'd touch hearts and do for us that we're in need of. Get glory unto yourself, I pray, in Christ's name.